Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from our virtual studio, if you will. We're not back in our home inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, if you need a more personal experience with your bank, but you need a bank that's big enough to handle pretty much everything that you can throw at them, a bank that has the technology to be able to offer you and your small business, my suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com, find their local office, some 200 across the South ready to serve you and growing, and give them a call. Give those folks a call, and you won't get a 1-800 number, automated voice kind of situation that you get at a lot of the mega banks, and you know what I'm talking about. You'll get a live person that actually wants to talk to you and invite you into the office and to have a conversation. I think you'll find that personal experience, personal touch, and the business acumen that you'll need for your business. I have found that in my dealings with Renaissance. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Maria Forbes. And Maria is the owner, CEO, and I love this title, Chief Engagement Officer of Firepower Business Catalyst. Maria, welcome.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and Firepower Business Catalyst. How are you serving folks out there?
Well, we're serving over about 25 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but we really have had a mission to serve entrepreneurial leaders of professional services business. So these are owners in the lower middle market with a real purposeful vision for how they want to help the world. And they've spent many years investing their time and their energy and their wisdom to grow their business. And they've relied primarily on their own talents and strengths to serve their clients and their employees. But then they get to a place where they're enjoying success and it's sort of a pivotal point where they realize they can't take their business to the next level alone. And that's where my mission was born for Firepower. It's really to be that strategic partner to my clients and walk the journey together toward achieving their growth goals, primarily bridging the gap between financial capital and human capital, because they both have to be in very good health to fuel ongoing business growth and continuity. So while my focus is on attraction, retention, alignment of unique contributor teams as part of a growth plan, this strategy is really foreign to most small business leaders. But when I explain the impact of unique contributor structure on revenue generation and that unique contributor structure replaces a traditional view of the org chart of who does what, they get it right away. And that's when they really want to work together. So we've enjoyed many years of this work with our clients.
That latter part sounds fascinating, and I want to get to that. But let's talk about professional services providers in general and really the mindset, because you really got individuals who are, they start out as solopreneurs, and they're kind of used to that environment, and they start to grow, and they think they want to scale, and that means team. And how do they make that of shift mentally, because that can be hard, and that's where you come in.
You know, we typically are working with people that have already attempted the shift and made mistakes. Mm. And until they make those mistakes in scaling, they don't really understand why a strategic workforce planning is even a thing. Why do they even need my help? Why do they need to understand a lot of the things that we bring to them that corporate America enjoys and small business doesn't. And so when we talk to them, they're scaling up and they've already made mistakes and they're saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm hiring wrong. I'm not retaining my people. I don't know who I need next to take my business to the next level. So they understand that they can't do it alone, and they understand that they've already made some mistakes. And that's really important. We typically don't work with startup companies because they haven't made those mistakes yet. So they don't really understand how impactful those mistakes can be and how difficult it is for everybody to hire right, to get the right people surrounding them.
You're looking for folks that have been through the pain, and they, that makes sense to me. Now, so what you mentioned mistakes in hiring. What do those look like? Is it just hiring for function versus long-term health of the organization? Dig into that a little more.
You know, when the most typical mistakes, hiring mistakes that leaders make is that they're hiring because they have a tactical need. They have something that needs to happen. There's a gap in, say, I need bookkeeping, or I need someone in business development. I need, in the case of my clients, they're heavily weighted in financial services, not exclusively to financial services, but we have a lot of financial services clients that we enjoy working with. Typically RIA firms, and these are wise people, very intelligent people, great at what they do, but they have no idea that a job description has to be written a certain way and has to be designed a certain way for them to really attract the right people and develop them in the right direction. So there's really that defining place of who do you need and why that we help to discern.
Okay, so what? Let's talk about why job descriptions don't work. What do I need to do to improve my job description?
We like to think of job descriptions as role descriptions. So typically, what you find out there, and it's funny. Yesterday, I just received two job descriptions, a job description from two different clients. One at the executive level, one at a mid-level position. And neither of them really explained what that person would be responsible for beyond a day-to-day task. And that is very important for us to understand. It's kind of like in corporate America, you'll hear terms like career pathing. And career paths are really very important at the small business level as well. And we build it into the initial stage of hiring. Because if we understand the bigger picture of where we need this position to make a contribution, then we can sharpen our focus on who we get, you know, what candidates we need to attract in the first phase of that role. So we look at the role as a contributor role, and you'll hear me say that a lot, because I think that job descriptions and staff, you'll hear me talk about language, because those are things that really derail the best direction a leader can take in forming a you know, top talent team, a high performing team. So job descriptions don't work. They give us a laundry list of day-to-day tasks and credentials. We understand two things typically from a job description. We understand what the cognitive needs are for that role, which are, what do they need to know? What's their knowledge base? What's the skills and education and experience that are required to fulfill this role? And the other thing that the job description tells us is, as I said, the laundry list of tasks that need to be done. So what happens when the leader says, I wish I could get my people thinking outside the box, which I hear a lot. Well, you've hired them based on this list of tactical duties and responsibilities. You didn't hire them with the vision for them that they could make a contribution to the growth goal. So we didn't integrate their unique abilities into that hiring process. And that's what we need to do to improve. So that's why job descriptions don't work. When we do role descriptions, we're adding another element to the job description that is conative, and the conative part of the mind is it tells us how a person innately needs to execute in a role. So we're looking at how do they need to execute? How do they need to participate in the growth plan along with their day-to-day tasks and their knowledge base? So it's a much more robust description of that role.
Yeah. And back to that comment you made about language is important. I mean, I was listening there and you were using some language that had some contrast there. I mean, the word job compared to the word role is really something transactional versus something a little more inclusive and team oriented, it sounds like to me.
It is. And it's what a job description, believe it or not, you know, and one of the things I ask during our strategic work with teams is, do you have a job description? Because they know what that is. And oftentimes they don't. They haven't looked at it for years. It doesn't mean anything beyond how I got in the door, how I got the interview, and how I you know, might have got in the door. But what we wanted, what the role description is something much different. And while it serves the hiring process, it also serves a longer term relationship.
I mean, this may be a dumb question, but I'm pretty good at asking dumb questions. How do you define team? And what I mean by that is a lot of people use that word loosely to define in their mind is really what they treat as a collection of individuals. But you see that word a little differently.
I do see that word differently. And so, you know, we structure unique contributors. I'll refer to things in general language that people understand, like job description and teams, but our teams are really made up of unique contributors. And we do that so that we can appeal to the depth of what a person really wants to do in their job. And so this sort of unique contributor structure frees the workforce to participate in growth because they know where they fit. And they know where they can lend value in achieving that a shared business vision. So that purposeful vision that I talked about that used to belong to the owner now belongs to the entire workforce. So the team is the unique contributor workforce. It's a structure that gives us, it maintains that entrepreneurial mindset across the individuals.
Folks, we're chatting with Maria Forbes. Maria is the owner, CEO of Firepower Business Catalyst. Maria, you've got some thoughts about, speaking of an entrepreneurial mindset, you've got thoughts around framework versus programs. Say more on that.
That's really a clarity of who we're serving. The framework versus programs is something that I bring to the entrepreneurial clients. These are leaders that they don't have a real tolerance for plugging people into a program that they can't sustain. I should make the distinction between corporate America and the lower middle market. And corporate America enjoys a lot of wonderful HR through their HR leaders programs that help you to develop your career path in the organization. Small business is running hard, running fast, usually dependent on, you know, the owner and partners, and they don't have the bandwidth to sit back and say, okay, you know, what kind of program can I get my people to participate in, especially because they're not going to do it themselves. So whatever's going on has to start with the owners. And it's usually more of a framework. A framework says, this is how we're going to structure our collaborations. This is how we're going to structure the way we function as a group of unique contributors, a team, a collaborative team. And we have different types of teams. We have teams that are collaborative, truly collaborative, like think of a basketball team where they really need each other to get down the court and get that ball into the basketball hoop, right? They've got to make that shot and they depend on each other. And then we have other teams that are more independent, like for example, a swim team running their own race, but they're part of a team. Mm. And then we have teams that are really hybrid, where there's parts of things they do alone and of their work. And then there are parts of the effort toward growth that they come together on and really collaborate. So we have to dissect that a little bit and put that into a framework that is understood by everybody. It's not a program. It's a structure where they can all interact in a way that's somewhat unique to them as a workforce, and that, that will serve them through all phases of the business life cycle.
So you work with companies that have made some mistakes. Maybe they've got the wrong people in wrong roles, however those mistakes have been manifested, and you come in and diagnose that. So how do you prescribe and then counsel your clients on making those changes? Because that must be a source of pain and pause that a lot of business owners have, because pain avoidance is something we all have as business owners, right?
Yes. In fact, I just spoke with a new client this week, and she was classic in terms of the pain that my clients are experiencing. And that is, I'm on a growth path, and I've had some turnover, and I've lost confidence in my ability to get the right people on my team. And that doesn't happen. I don't fix that in a vacuum of saying, okay, let's get you the right hiring criteria and develop onboarding, which is something I'm very passionate about. We first do something else. We talk to them about their business. We look at the business strategically. We look at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, the old SWOT approach to understanding a business. And we take a deep dive into who they are and what they've built so that we understand what they need and why they need it, and have a very good idea of who they need as well.
And how involved is the entire team in this work? I mean, you're working for the business owner, but how do you incorporate the current team members into the work you do?
So when we're restructuring teams, what's commonly known as alignment, and what we're really doing is saying, let's take a new look at your role. Let's make sure that you are fully engaged in what you're doing and that you feel like you are participating. You're using your natural strengths, your learned capabilities, and you're appealing to your motivations and desires to do this work. All three of those have to happen to have a fully engaged individual. And so we'll come back and look at that against the role description. We'll enhance the role description, and we'll get their input as we're doing that, so that, because this is really about them. This is really about each and every individual on the team across the organization, from administration to business development. At every level, we understand that there's an impact on the client relationship, and there's an impact on the ability to continue to grow. And so we're going to need their input along the way. So it's very much a collaboration, if you will. Not initially, though. Initially, we're working with owners and partners to really take a deep dive in understanding what's there. And then we're start to build that foundation in where we involve the team in understanding the roles and where we need to realign them and re-engage individuals.
Now, one of the things you said earlier was that your mission is to integrate financial capital with human capital. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, so often I'm part of the early, mid, and late stage part of succession. So when my clients are ready to, they sort of hit that point, usually about 5 years out, they're saying, I just feel like I've done everything I want to do here internally, and I'd rather mentor my business than run it. And so when we get to that point, we have to understand that that transition is very important personally. And it's a different journey it's a change, a mindset change, emotional change, and a real change for those owners. And so we're gonna walk that journey with them and make sure that they are able to achieve their goals, even if that means that others will be leading the company.
Yeah, and what you're getting at, I think, is really important for business owners to understand. Because so often they think exclusively in terms of financial characteristics when it comes to succession. What's my business worth? You know, what kind of multiple can I get? I mean, all these are numbers. The human capital equation here is extraordinarily important and something that a buyer is going to be very interested in.
Yes. And so what I mean by the bridge, if you will, between financial capital and human capital is that when they get to that point, where they're saying, I'm on an accelerated growth track, or I want to succeed. I want to get new leadership in. Most people are looking at exactly what you said. You know, maybe I want to transfer my business to someone internally or externally. But either way, they're always looking at multiples. They're looking at generally the financial health of that company. And what I'm doing is introducing the impact of the human capital values on the value of the business. So we start early with that. We start with that perception at hiring, at retention, at all of the phases of the business lifecycle. So that by the time they get to the point of transfer, business transfer, we've built a really solid human capital foundation that shows up as a value and works. And we know that the human capital, the people power the business. So we have to have good financial health. We've got to have good operations, good process, good marketing. You know, all of the very important facets of the business have to be healthy, but the people are powering that. And so with that people powered perspective, we understand that people have a seat in the strategic growth plan. And so we're bridging the gap between that sort of siloed, if you will, look at financial capital and saying, let's look at both together so we can get the full value of the business.
You've got some thoughts around taking new team members and helping them become long-term, what you call associates. Dig into that for us, if you will.
Yeah, you know, to become a long-term associate, to become a long-term contributor of a company, we have to understand that engagement planning is a key initiative. We have to understand that has to be from onboarding to engagement has to be planned. It has to be intentional. It has to be tracked. So before, you know, we have to understand that, you know, these are people. And the interesting thing is, if I had a nickel for every story I hear about people walking into an office and they have no desk or they don't even know where they're sitting, and there's no place for them on day one, I'd be a billionaire. I hear this every day. And instead of having a workspace where they're welcome into the company, they're walking in and nobody knows what they're supposed to do on day one. And that goes from these are corporate stories to small business stories. Mm. It just doesn't matter. It's happening all over the place. And part of my mission is to solve that problem, because what we know is, and the data continues to reveal, that people are going to leave your company within the first 45 days if there's no plan. They're already 1 foot out the door. If they walk in and they don't even know where they're sitting, they don't have a laptop or a desktop, or, you know, nobody really, they're busy. Everybody's busy and doesn't really know what that person is supposed to do. So, we work very hard on onboarding plans to ensure that we're developing from day one, the long-term association, that client is really desiring, so that we can eliminate turnover, or eliminate, you know, the chronic issues around keeping people, retaining people, and you know, they spend a lot of time and money building their teams and creating top performing teams, and then it's very costly when they lose someone. So, you know, we work on onboarding plans, and that's something that small business doesn't typically enjoy. They don't typically have that. So we're bringing that tool to our clients. And that's really a rundown of who is the company, a cultural description, a vision, a mission, who's on the team, even down to policies on dress code, arrival times, team meetings, and much, much more, to help those new associates understand exactly who they're working with. And then, of course, alongside of that is a full role map of what the expectations are for success in their role that they've just accepted.
So I would love it. And of course, you don't have to use a name, but I would love it, Maria, if you could talk maybe about a success story that you're particularly proud of in terms of a client that you've worked with, and what that outcome has been.
On the long-term association, I could tell you stories all day long, but one that was really fun recently was that we took an existing team. These are people that have been together for 20 plus years, and they were just running stale. The owner was saying, you know, I'm now 3 years into my succession plan, and I'm not seeing a lot of change in the contribution level of my core team. So we went in and started looking at how they were working together, what they were feeling at the time in terms of their contributions. Have they fallen flat in their ability to contribute? Are they still free to contribute? Are there constraints that they're experiencing? Is there strain and tension somewhere, you know, with who they work with, or the expectations around meeting the company growth goal? And what was really great about that was we did a language change. We changed their titles. We didn't change their role. We changed how they referred to their role. And we put it on their, we updated their signatures, their email signatures. We updated what they were saying to clients. And all of a sudden, their posture was different. They came into the office dressed differently. Their energy level was through the roof. And we had this tangible change in how people behaved. And they couldn't wait to start talking with clients every day. It was a simple, simple thing. And it's one of the things that we do on a quarterly basis to catch these things as they're coming along. Because when we change an onboarding plan at the time of hiring, then transitions pretty quickly at 90 days. So we do a 90-day action plan in that onboarding plan. And after that 90 days, it becomes an engagement plan. And we look at that every quarter with every employee. And we make sure that they're still working on according to their strengths, that their role is making sense, that if something has changed, we understand what it is and why. We take a quarterly look at their role every year. So 4 times a year, they know that they have our attention personally to make sure that they are working on that long-term association, and that it really truly is happening for them in a fully engaged way. So it's an ongoing process, and it's a lot of fun to see the energy change from simple little things. Like that's one of the simplest things we can do after a quarterly progress check, to say, you know, I think they've lost a sense of who they are to the clients, and we changed it and just really had a sharp uptick in how the company was then contributing, how those teams were contributing. So that's just a really small example. On the larger example of how we make these changes, and was a company, I probably had three long-term clients that retired in 1 year. So we were taking them through a succession plan all at the same time. Mm. And while there were some unique things going on in each company, there were some common things. But one of them in particular was transferring ownership to this is a financial advisor firm that has a wealth management and a 401k side to their business. So they had two separate key advisors serving each of those markets. And when the owner and partners left, transitioned, they're now mentoring indefinitely because they enjoy working together. The two new advisors were at first thought, we've got this. We're excited about this. No problem. And they said, I said to my client, I'm probably going to take a back seat here for a while because they haven't made any mistakes yet. They haven't been owners yet, and they don't really know what they're getting into. So we're going to just kind of watch them. And so I continued to meet with the previous owners, partners, and we just kind of kept an eye on the two new owners. And they said, yes, we're hiring in some interns and associates, and lost every one of them. Mm. They were completely deflated within a year. And I got a phone call, and the lead advisor said, we can't do this anymore. And it was that place of understanding what human capital really does, what that focus really does. And that there's an art and a science to hiring, and it isn't just recruiting, and it isn't just onboarding, and it isn't just development. It's not just attraction and retention. It's all of those things working together. So, the stories just go on and on, but it was really interesting to watch new leaders kind of come into this, and they always do it by a mistake that kind of squelches their confidence. And then they say, okay, I'm ready for partnering on this.
Great value, folks, here from Maria Forbes. And she is the owner CEO of Firepower Business Catalyst. Maria, this has been great. And I want to get to the most important question, which is folks that have heard something that makes them want to reach out to you and they want to get in touch. Tell them how they can do that.
Sure. Thank you. You can get in touch with us through the Firepower Teams website, which is www.firepowerteams.com. And you can also call me directly or email me directly. My email is maria@firepowerteams.com. That's a fast way to get to me directly. So I welcome any inquiries.
Maria Forbes, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some speaking of task that you need to have someone else handle so you can work on your human capital, I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Now, if you've got bookkeeping, if you've got administrative tasks, if you've got those kinds of things that you're working on as a business owner that really you should not be working on, somebody else should be, that's better equipped to do it, should be doing it, go to her website. You can do that if you're shy, officeangels.us. My suggestion is pick up the phone and just call her, 770-442-9246. Tell her I sent you. But while you're at it, but explain what your problem is, and she'll send an angel or two in to fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on a virtual basis, and they've been doing it that way for 21 years. So a pandemic environment doesn't scare them in the least. I think you'll find her and her team are terrific. I know I do for my business. Essie Escobedo, Office Angels. And as we wrap up here, folks, I've got a request for you. If you could please find our show on your favorite podcast app, North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We're on all the major apps, and subscribe to the show, but more importantly, give us a 5-star review. Now, I'm asking for that, not just for me really at all, not for Business Radio X at all. We're asking for that for our great guests that are on our show, because we want folks to find the show so they can utilize the services of great business leaders like Maria. So if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it. You can also connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX, on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for my guest, Maria Forbes, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.